Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, here we go. Biggest and the best Friday nights, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hello, everyone. Alyssa Walker-Campbell going to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. We have an incredible lineup coming your way. We've got you covered. We're going to recap the NFL draft, NBA playoffs. Get you ready for the Rockets Warriors on Saturday night, 7:30 tip. And we will take time for some PGA news and notes. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. But right now in studio, hanging out with the Big E, Robert Harris. He wants to talk about his Houston Rockets. And good evening, Bobby. Why are they without a win so far in this series against the Warriors? You look kind of down.
Well, yeah, I am kind of down about it, but it's just, you know, the Warriors are the Warriors. I mean, these two teams, you can arguably say they are the best two teams in the NBA going at each other. So it's just the Warriors are finding ways to do Warriors things. Klay Thompson heating up, Steph Curry finding his rhythm from the three-point line. You can't guard Kevin Durant. I mean, I don't think anybody right. in the NBA can arguably, like, just guard this man. He will shoot over you every time. So the best thing you should do is just try your best to defend him either way.
Well, the thing about the Warriors, too, is that they have depth and they can just rotate those players. But when you look at the Rockets and their body of work so far, obviously they've come up short in these first two games. What are they doing well?
Well, they are turning the ball over a lot for the Warriors, but it's just going down to the other end, making something happen on the offensive side that just come up short. And you can't shoot a lot of threes with the Warriors and try to get back into the game. It just won't work like that. So you have to work as a team. You have to execute your plays very, very effectively on offense.
Well, so much focus has been on James Harden. This could perhaps be his MVP year. Talk to me about Chris Paul. What would you like to see from him going forward?
Just being more aggressive. I mean, just taking more shots. He's a mid-range guy. He'll shoot the three as well. But just continue to play his game and just be CP3 that we all know him of.
Okay, Golden State Rockets got you ready, 7:30 on Saturday night at the Toyota Center. Robert Harris been with me hanging out here, SB Nation Radio. Much more as we get underway, the Big E Sports Show. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect. We love to hear from all of our followers on Twitter, at eRadioSports, info@eradiosports.com, and Twice is Nice. You can go back and listen to each and every any one of our guests tonight at podcastarena.com. We also want to take time to recognize the folks that make it happen. We are sponsored by Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com. today. Well, right now in our next segment, we're going to recap the 2019 NFL Draft and what we learned. And we are so delighted to open up the mic and have back NFL columnist for the New York Newsday. He is also the president of the Pro Football Writers of America and author. We had him back a few months ago. He delivered an amazing book, one of his latest releases. It is titled Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate the NFL in the 1980s. I highly encourage you to go out and get a copy of that. Welcome back, Bob Glauber. Good evening, Bob.
Elissa, Big E, how are you? great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, salutations. It's good to have you on the show and good to hear your voice. And so there's a lot that I want to get into and a lot certainly transpired from this year's draft, but we want to be specific. So let's talk about one of the teams that I think in my mind probably perhaps improved the most, and they took care of business, and that's the Redskins. I mean, they landed, I would say, a franchise quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. I think they hit a home run with him, and obviously he had a terrific collegiate career, and he was coached by one of the best with Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I think this is a very important pick for him. I still am curious as to who decided on this pick, whether it was Daniel Snyder, who kind of believe his way there to make that pick of the franchise quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, or if it was the personnel department and Jay Gruden. So be that as it may, Haskins is there. He is played around Maryland for many years in high school, so he is a familiar face to the Redskins and Redskins fans, and it's going to be an exciting time. He has a very good mentor in Case Keenum, who signed after being out from the Broncos. So I think it's a good situation for Dwayne Haskins. Give him a chance to learn a little bit, get some experience behind a veteran who is going to at least start, for the foreseeable future, and then make that transition. So very exciting time for the Redskins. And quite frankly, they need it, man. This team has been down for a long time.
Yep.
They haven't had a quarterback in a long time who has been able to stay healthy. And RG3, man, he really tempted them a number of years back and just couldn't stay healthy, and it was a shame because he really had to make it to something special.
Okay, so Dwayne, he was a finalist for the Heisman this year. Watching him from afar, I know you're a New York guy, but I mean, what do you appreciate the most about his skill set and potentially what he could bring to the Redskins?
Well, Dwayne Haskins is a pure pocket quarterback, and you still can win that way in the NFL. I think you do win that way. The quarterback who's won six championships since 2001 is a pure pocket passer, and he's full as molasses, and that's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Not saying that Dwayne Haskins is going to be another Tom Brady, but, that's the way you do win in this league. You win from the pocket, and that is Haskins. He's not fast. In fact, there was some disappointment that he ran over 5 seconds in the 40-yard dash at the combine. This is with preparation. So I think that might have caused him to fall a little bit. Teams were a little bit skeptical of that. So he's got a big arm. He has got some bravado to him. There is some swagger. And, he's an exciting guy. Now, it's a matter of picking things up. And once that stuff comes automatically to him, he's going to be an exciting player to watch.
Hey, the 2019 NFL Draft, it is in the books. We're getting the impressions of how it all played out with Bob Glauber, NFL columnist for New York's Newsday and president of the Pro Football Writers of America. Okay, so listen, Bob, we got to head to the Big 12 Conference. Let's talk about the number one pick in this year's draft, and we're fired up, and that is, of course, Kyler Murray, our guy. I mean, back-to-back Heisman winners with Oklahoma. They know what they're doing. So tell me this, Bob, what's your confidence level in him, and is he going to be a starter week one?
Oh, I think he'll be a starter week one. There's just no competition on that roster once they got rid of Josh Rosen, so I think the decks are clear for Kyler Murray to be the week one starter. I haven't been this excited about or intrigued about a quarterback in a long time because, he brings a lot to the table. Number one, this is the shortest starter we've seen in quite some time, maybe since Doug Flutie. Really, you really can't get around it, and there's no reason to. But he's so exciting. And to have the events transpire where he and Cliff Kingsbury got together, it's pretty amazing. Cliff Kingsbury first saw Kyler Murray when he was like a junior in high school and fell in love with the guy's skill set and offered him immediate scholarship to Texas Tech right there. So these two are very familiar with one another. They know what each other thinks. And I'm excited to see how it's all going to pan out. You know, a lot of skepticism among traditional NFL people who believe you got to be 6'3" and, you know, stand tall in the pocket. And this guy's going to be an exciting player, and he brings a lot to the table. And you can see by the way that they drafted a lot of receivers. They're signing free agent receivers, little fast players who are going to run that offense of Cliff Kingsbury. And it's going to be fun to watch. And I hope it succeeds.
A couple of Sooner sensations. Hey, we're talking to a sensational guy, Bob Glauber, NFL columnist for New York's Newsday. And let's move ahead. Let's talk about the Giants. And who knew the Duke quarterback, Jones, that he's going to become the Giants' perhaps new starting quarterback? What say you? How long is it going to take for them to work him in? I love Eli.
Yeah, Eli has been nothing but professional for the Giants, and he got them their last two Super Bowl championships. We all know that. Super Bowl MVP, potential Hall of Fame career. But, you know, he's 38 years old. It was time to make a change. And the Giants are absolutely smitten by what Daniel Jones brings to the table. Now, we talk about prototype quarterbacks. You know, you go from Kyler Murray, 5'10", mm-hmm. and this different breed of quarterback to, uh-huh. you know, the 6'4", 220-pound Daniel Jones. The classic build for a quarterback doesn't have quite the arm strength that perhaps other quarterbacks do, but, you know, he is that big, tough guy who does have some mobility, certainly has more mobility than Eli. Big E, I think it's going to be sooner rather than mm-hmm. later that we see him. I think we're going to see him get some starts this season, especially if the Giants record-wise don't do too well. You know, you go back to 2004, Eli Manning's rookie season, they had Kurt Warner, the former Super Bowl MVP, as the starting quarterback that year. And after, I believe it was 9 games, Tom Coughlin pulled the plug and put Eli in there. He knew Eli Manning wasn't ready to win and be a playoff quarterback just then, but he knew that was the time. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a similar dynamic here.
Is he the quarterback that perhaps you would have drafted? I mean, there was obviously some criticism of the fact that they overlooked Haskins.
Well, I don't have a problem with them taking him over Haskins. I think they're, you know, we talked about Haskins' limited mobility. You know, Eli, I want to say Eli might have run a faster 40 than Haskins.
Interesting.
I could be wrong on that,
okay.
But he's comparable, and that's scary. So, I think that they bring different skill sets. Here's the quarterback I would have drafted if I were the Giants. Sam Darnold.
Oh, okay.
Last year.
Yeah, for sure.
And they had the chance to do it. He took Saquon Barkley, and you're in risky territory here because you want those young players to win on their first contracts, especially the good ones. And if there's not enough time to do that, and they're going to be right on the edge there with Daniel Jones, you're taking a little bit of a gamble here. So I think Sam Darnold was the play last year. I know Giants fans don't want to hear that too much, but it's the truth. You know, when you take care of that franchise quarterback, you take care of a lot. But here's the thing that they believe in, and they believe in Daniel Jones. And when you have that, when the coach is in line and when the GM is on board, you know, that's your guy. And they're gonna sink or swim with Daniel Jones. There's no two ways about it, both for Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman. This is the legacy-defining choice for both of them.
It'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out. Great way to kick off Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show with Bob Glauber, NFL columnist for New York's Newsday. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bob Glauber. Thank you so much, Bob, and we will talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much.
Sounds great, Big E. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back, SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, and many different ways to connect with us right here at SB Nation. At eRadio Sports is our Twitter, info, eradiosports.com, and podcast, arena.com. As always, got to take time to recognize the folks that make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't take a chance of being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It is free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, the second round of the NBA playoffs, they are cruising right along. And in our next segment, we're going to zero in on a couple of different series. But we're first going to start with the Rockets and the Warriors. Game three right here in Houston on Saturday night. Golden State leads the series. They have won the first two games. It's a 7:30 tip. And we are certainly delighted to welcome back to SB Nation from SiriusXM NBA Radio, and that is Mitch Lawrence. Good evening, Mitch.
Alyssa, how are you tonight? All right?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you on a Friday. Thanks for carving out some time, and give us your thoughts on the Rockets and the Warriors. I mean, can the Rockets, they've got to try to find a way to muscle back into this series. Is this series over, or can they do it?
Well, I don't know if it's over, and I hope it's not for the fans' sake, but they're going to have to play a lot better than they did in the first two games to beat Golden State. They could probably, the way they played those first two games, they could probably beat most of the teams in the playoffs. But, you know, Golden State is now a different animal. I mean, we've seen what Kevin Durant has done in the playoffs. He's been, to me, the MVP of the playoffs so far. And Draymond Green is now, again, a factor, especially at the defensive end, having a lot of impact. So, you know, for Houston to win, their guys have to play a lot better than they played, whether it's been James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella. To beat Golden State, to deny them that chance to get a three-peat, they're going to have to play a lot better in Houston. And who knows, maybe they can do it, but it's really on them.
Well, in order to play better, let's talk about some of those adjustments that must take place on Saturday night. What should head coach Mike D'Antoni, what should he tweak? What should he recalibrate?
Well, you know, they did a good job against Kevin Durant in game two. It was, you know, a late rush by Golden State that got the win that other the other night. If they can get more out of Clint Capella, that would be helpful, obviously. I think they can. I think they will. You know, Chris Paul has had, you know, okay games. You know, I think it's more than just the X's and the O's. It's his guys stepping up. And obviously, you know, we're going to see what James Harden can do after he got poked in the eye inadvertently, obviously, by Draymond Green. And, you know, everybody's always critical of the league, the way the playoffs are stretched out. And in this case, they had 3 days off. But I'll tell you what, for Houston, those were three great days to have off, to have James Harden recover, because when he got poked in the eye, and he obviously had that blurry vision. Now, it didn't affect him that much in game two in terms of his shooting, but still to come back and to be fine for game three, that's a great, great break that the Rockets have had.
SiriusXM NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence with us at SB Nation. Also NBA columnist. Check him out online, Sporting News and Forbes, and give him a follow at Mitch_Lawrence on Twitter. What is your level of concern for Harden's injury? I mean, hopefully he won't have, you know, any eye issues tomorrow night.
Right. Well, they said, you know, he's been improving day by day, which is good. I don't know if he'll be wearing goggles or not. We'll see about that. But anytime, obviously, somebody has an eye injury in this sport, it can be serious. And, you know, I mean, we just have to wait and see. I mean, James Harden has been an incredible player this year, obviously. He'll probably finish two to Giannis Antetokounmpo, unless he is the MVP again. And so much is riding on, you know, for the Rockets, riding on his performance. So let's just hope he's fully recovered. And that, you know, the thing about the playoffs is you never want to have any players, let alone the top players in the league, go down the injury. It takes so much away. You know, we've seen in the Philly series that Joel Embiid can be limited at points because of that knee. They never want to see that. So let's just hope that James Harden's recovered from that and he can move on and give the Rockets a real chance to, you know, get past Golden State and get to the Western Conference Finals.
So much focus on James Harden. The onus is really on him. But you mentioned this, Mitch. I mean, Chris Paul, he really needs to step up and kind of alleviate some of that pressure. What would you like to see from Chris?
Well, he's always got to be a factor in my eyes. You know, we saw what happened last year when the Rockets were up 3-2 in the conference finals. He went down to that, you know, a very unfortunate hamstring injury, hurt at the wrong place at the wrong time in the playoffs once again for Chris. That seems to be a kind of theme here the last few years for him, and that's unfortunate. And then, you know, the thing that he started the series off in that crazy game one where he got ejected and he bumped an official. And I'll tell you what, I thought he was going to get suspended for game two. The Rockets lucked out there.
I agree.
Because he did make contact with an official, which is a no-no. you know, came back in game two, and, you know, they just didn't play. They played well. They played okay, but you know what? It's going to take more, like I said. So for Chris Paul, he's got to be a little bit more dominant than he's been, as we've seen so far in these playoffs, and maybe he can do that tomorrow night.
You know, there's been talk earlier this week about Kevin Durant that perhaps he could be on the same level as LeBron, and he could surpass LeBron as the all-time great. Do you hold that belief?
No, I mean, right now I see him as being one of the top, I don't know how to put this, one of the top maybe five.
Come on, Mitch.
I don't know, you know, it starts for me, when I look at him as an offensive player, and believe me, he can make his impact defensively too.
Yep.
But, you know, for me, it's always been Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the greatest offensive player in the history of sport, not just because of the point total that he had, which is above everybody else, number one all time, but he had the most unguardable, shot with the skyhook when he played years ago, besides being a great champion and an MVP. So I always have to give, you know, Jabbar the edge of everybody else. And that's talking to the all-time greats, guys like Walt Frazier, the old Nick, who I see a lot at the Garden with the Knicks these days, who would always tell me, never leave that Kareem out of the discussion because nobody could defend that shot. And then, you know, there have been other great, obviously, Michael Jordan's been was a phenomenal offensive player through the years. We saw him. Kevin Durant, though, the way he plays, it's now getting to the point where, yeah, he's going to go down in history as one of the great offensive forces that we've seen. In terms of the all-around play, it's still, you know, you got to go to LeBron. Plus, you know, let's not forget, I know he did in the Eastern Conference, but there's something to be said for a guy who can get his teams, whether it was Cleveland or Miami or back in Cleveland, to 8 straight finals. That is a record that probably won't be broken by anybody anytime soon. And I'm talking about you know, Bill Russell once went to the Celtics more than 8 times, but I mean, for a guy like LeBron James to lead his teams to 8 straight finals, that's something that Kevin Durant has never done, and I don't think he will.
Well, Kevin Durant, he certainly is very motivated to win another championship, but I have to wonder, Mitch, is there extra motivation with the possibility of him moving on from the Warriors at the end of this season?
Well, you know what? There's so much talk about Kevin Durant moving on, talk about the Knicks, talk about maybe, I don't know, the Clippers, but it's there's so much talk in New York, and it's really, I don't know if it's just wishful thinking, but I think Kevin Durant is just always motivated by that type of thing. He went to Golden State originally because he wanted to win titles. He's done it, 2 years in a row? He can do it a third year. You know, players start to separate themselves, and this is what's important to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You listen in terms of their legacy,
How
many titles they won. You know, nobody's three-peated in the NBA since the great Laker teams of Kobe and Shaq, right, back in the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
And I think for Golden State, for everybody, whether it's Kevin Durant, Curry, all these guys, Steve Kerr, if they could match that in three-peat, let's not forget, as great as LeBron was in Miami, they didn't three-peat. They went to 4 straight titles, they went 2 in a row, but they didn't three-peat. So I think this is all a motivation, not just for Kevin Durant, but everybody else.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Friday night. SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. Going one-on-one, Mitch Lawrence, Sirius XM NBA Radio. Let's do a crossover. Let's head out east. Let's talk about the Celtics and the Bucks. Game three, right now, it's underway between these two teams. What is your takeaways from this particular series?
Well, it's been a very, very interesting series. The way that Boston opened up with that tremendous win in game one, and you felt like, oh boy, here's the Bucks, a 60-win team with the home court advantage throughout, and Boston really took it to them with excellent play. That third quarter of game one, a decisive win. They handled everything beautifully. This is the Celtic team that a lot of us thought we'd see in the regular season, but we didn't, because guys weren't accepting of roles. And even Kyrie Irving, I think it was during the first round series against Indiana, Alyssa, he was talking about, well, we're playing better now because the stakes are higher.
That's right.
So obviously the regular season didn't mean as much. They're more together as a team, which is great, obviously. And then in game two, and Milwaukee had to have that win, and boy, what a tremendous job they did. Game two with that classic 28-2 run, in the third quarter, taking. Now they had to win, so Boston went home with what they needed to get. They stole the home court advantage, but that showed you, Giannis Antetokounmpo bounced back from a tough opener. It was his first time in the second round, and of course, he got a lot of help from Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe in game two. And that's what he's going to need. I mean, Boston's going to load up like all these teams. You're going to try to stop Antetokounmpo and make other guys beat you. And that's what Chris Middleton did game two. He had 7 threes. Bledsoe attacked all night long. He was a factor. They combined for almost 80 points between the three of them. So that was a great night, but they have to continue this. They got to go into Boston, obviously, in these next two games or some point and get a win, because right now Boston has the home court.
Hey, we're wrapping up our time. You know, so much focus on Giannis, but we got to tip our hat to the Milwaukee Bucks head coach, Mike Budenholzer, who has just done a remarkable job this year, his first year with the Bucks.
No question. He might win the coach of the year. There are going to be a lot of candidates, we know, from around the NBA this year. Look at the job Doc Rivers did and other guys, too. But, I mean, Nick Nurse in his first year as a head coach. But you know what? Mike is a professional coach. You saw the job he did in Atlanta. They won 60 games there. They won the East that one year before they got swept in the conference finals by the Cavs. And Mike is just basically, all these players have gotten better under him. And that's the thing. You know, he's helped with the culture. He took over for a franchise that really needed to have a guy who was a head coach and knew what he was doing. And Mike's done that. We've known him since his days in San Antonio. Tremendous coach. And I think that that's, to me, I've always said the biggest free agent move of last year, the biggest signing of last year, was LeBron for the Lakers, although it really didn't turn out that well at all. It was a bad year for LeBron.
No,
it
didn't, yeah.
But how about Mike Budenholzer as your number two move?
Absolutely. Well, enjoy the games. Mitch Lawrence been with us, SB Nation Radio. And
this is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one. Thank you so much for joining us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Our next segment brought to you by our good friends at Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Well, as promised, it is time to talk some PGA news and notes, and we're going to open up our conversation tonight, get a full recap of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. So let's go inside the ropes, visit with our former favorite PGA Tour player, that is the great Larry Miller. Good evening, Larry.
Good evening, everybody. Great to be back. Lots to talk about now.
Absolutely. Well, let the good times roll. Let's talk about John Rahm and Ryan Palmer. They team up to win the Zurich Classic in your backyard and shot 3-under 69 in the alternate shot final round on Sunday to win. It's actually the PGA Tour's only team event, and they won by 3 strokes over Sergio Garcia and Tommy Fleetwood. What are some of your highlights or those takeaways from this tournament and this format?
Well, the benefactor was Ryan Palmer, of course. He hasn't won a tournament in just about 10 years. And John Rahm, of course, is one of the, you know, rising young stars on the tour and has won a bunch. Teaming up, you know, in the way it happened, you know, that they just came together through circumstances that weren't planned that way. You had a surgery on one end, one of the partners, and then another one dropped out. And next thing you know, somehow Rahm and Palmer get put together and they win the darn thing. And Palmer, like I said, is the great benefactor there, because that's an official win. It counts as an official win. Mm-hmm. And all the perks that go with that are afforded to Ryan Palmer. And so he's happy as a lark. I mean, he was in tears. He was so elated. But that's a tough format. Two of the days were best ball, and then two of the days were alternate shot. And alternate shot, I don't know if anybody out there has ever played it, but it is really difficult for a number of reasons. You know, for one thing, you don't have any continuity, and you lose momentum because you're not hitting every shot. You hit a shot, and then your partner hits the next one, and you hit the next one. So you kind of lose the rhythm, and it's very difficult, and you're always worried about putting your partner in a bad spot. I can tell you this: you don't ever want to play it with your husband or wife,
uh-huh,
because you'll end up in a fist fight.
Well, golf's hard enough on a marriage, right?
Well, I mean, I played it with Connie one time in Scotland, and uh-huh, I thought she was going to shoot me at one point. I mean,
bless your heart.
Yeah, I tried to cut a dog leg and hit it out of bounds, and then she called me a hot dog for trying to cut the dog leg, and then she had to walk all the way back to the tee. It was a nightmare. So anyway. But it's an interesting format. They only do it once a year on the regular tour. Of course, the Ryder Cup, every 2 years they do it. But I think it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's interesting, and it's different, and I know the players enjoy it.
You say it's an interesting format. Are you a fan of the format? Because some say it's really, Larry, a breath of fresh air to the tour schedule. I mean, it's different, and, I mean, you know, when you think of golf, it's an individual sport, but it's pretty cool. I mean, these guys are playing together as a team.
Yeah, I think it is fun. I think they look forward to it, and it's because they don't get to do it, and it's kind of nice to have a partner, a teammate, where you know you can lean on or help. Golf is such an individual thing, and you don't have that help, and no one can, you know, you have no one to blame and no one to help you out there. And this thing is it just adds a lot of flavor and spice to it, and it's something they never get to do. And so I think it's a lot of fun for them, even though it is stressful when you get to that, especially when you get to that alternate shot format. That's really stressful because every shot you hit, you feel terrible if you put your partner in a horrible spot, you know, and then he feels the same way. Just go. Mm-hmm. And you can look at the scores. I mean, one team shot 80 in the last, I forgot who it was, but one twosome shot 80.
That's right.
The last day in alternate shot. Now here's two tour players, PGA Tour players, that shot 80 in alternate shot. That's a testament to how difficult it can be.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into this interview without connecting with our audience. You can reach out to us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, info, eRadioSports.com, and always go back and listen to our exclusive interviews with former PGA Tour player Larry Miller at PodcastArena.com. Larry, you connect with our audience and tell them all about your brand new website.
Yeah, it's LarryMillerGolf.com, and it's a website where you can send me videos of your golf swing, and I will analyze those swings and diagnose your problems, and then I'll make suggestions on how to improve your technique. And I also, we do a telephone consultation after we do all that, and then we talk about your game and how it's going and what help I can give you. It's very beneficial. It's bound to improve your game, and I encourage everybody to check it out, LarryMillerGolf.com.
Hey, if you're just joining us, we're doing a recap of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, talking about Ryan Palmer. Larry brought it up, the fact that this win, it snapped a actual 9-year winless drought on the PGA Tour. I thought it was just amazing. One more quick hit on this tandem between John Rahm and Ryan Palmer. His playing partner was half his age. I mean, Ryan's, what, 42, and John's in his 20s.
Yeah, and, and Rahm is known for being a big hitter, a long hitter, but Ryan Palmer was driving the ball great in that event. He was hitting it pretty long for a guy twice Rahm's age, pretty much almost keeping up with him, but very accurate off the tee. And that went a long way, especially in the alternate shot portion, because Rahm is one of the great drivers of the ball in the game, along with McIlroy and Dustin Johnson, one of the maybe top three or four drivers of the golf ball. So he's long and he's straight. But Palmer, because he was hitting the driver so well and so accurately, it lent well to the alternate shot, because they were always in the fairway pretty much most of the time. And that's the secret in that format, is to keep the ball in play and not get in situations where your partner's in trouble, and then the next thing you know, you're in trouble. So I think that was a big part of their success, was the driving, the way they drove the ball.
Were you aware that John Rahm had played with a new golf ball in that tournament? He made the switch to the TaylorMade TP5. I'm not that familiar, with that particular, ball. I mean, my boys played the Titleist Pro V1X, but he felt that this provided some additional spin with his mid and short irons, and ultimately it was beneficial.
Yeah, finding the right ball is underestimated in its importance. The five major balls really right now are, of course, Titleist is the leader, TaylorMade, Srixon, Callaway, and there's one other ball out there. It's Srixon, Callaway, TaylorMade, and Titleist. Those are the four leading balls on the PGA Tour, with Titleist way out in front. But finding the one that fits you is really important, and like I say, it's very underestimated. What you have to do is get a ball fitting. You go to one of these like Club Champion or one of the top fitters, and they also do ball fittings and putter fittings and everything else. But they test out the different balls with your swing, and they find out the optimum spin for your swing, the trajectory of the ball, the speed of the ball. They're all pretty much the same, but the problem is, when they test these balls, a couple of years ago they took the four or five leading brands and they tested him on the machine, the Iron Byron machine. But the problem there is that machine swings the same way every time with the same swing. And golfers are different. Each golfer is unique and individual, and you have to literally try the balls out yourself and get on one of those TrackMan or, you know, or a fitting monitor to see what the ball's doing. And a lot of things come into play. The way it feels to you, the way it sounds, the way it spins for your particular swing, mm-hmm. you know, because everybody's swing is different.
Right.
You might have a steeper angle of attack or a more shallow one, and that makes a big difference in the ball. So bottom line is, you need to experiment and find out what ball you like, what performs the best for you, and what feels good and sounds good. It all makes a difference. And if you get the right ball, it can really it'll make you swing better because you have confidence.
Well, and there's been just so many innovative changes with equipment that's taken place. I mean, Larry, we've talked about this many times over the past 10 to 20 years. So let me ask you this. I mean, what's the difference between a hard and a soft golf ball?
Well, the hard ball is it's more benefit to the person who has a very high clubhead speed. You know, if you get up into the 110, 115, 120 mile an hour clubhead speed, then the harder ball, you're able to compress that ball because of the speed with which you swing. Now, if you've got a 90 mile an hour swing or 85, you're going to need a softer ball because you can't compress with that speed. You're not going to compress the hard ball like the Pro V1X or the TaylorMade TP5X. You're not going to be able to compress it. You might have to go to the Callaway Soft, the Chrome Soft, which is more conducive to a 90 mile an hour swing or 85. And so that's the difference, is your ability to compress the ball. You have to have a ball that you can get maximum compression with, and the spring effect is going to be optimum for you. And then, of course, your distance is going to get greater distance with a ball that fits you in that regard. And then the spin rate is important too. You don't want a ball that spins too much because it balloons up into the air, and you don't want one that doesn't spin much at all, because then it's kind of like a knuckleball and it doesn't stay in the air. Now, so many things come into play. It depends on where you play, the type of course you play. If you're out in Arizona and it's dry and it's hard, then you want a ball with less spin, because it's going to roll a long way on the hard ground. But if you're playing up in the Northeast on soft, soggy turf a lot of the time, you want a ball that stays in the air longer and carries, because it's not going to roll anyway. So all those things come into play. And the bottom line is, you have to experiment with the four or five major balls and see which one performs best for you on your golf course.
Have you always played Titleist?
I have played Titleist 99% of the time in my long career. Now, I will tell you this. I recently started playing the TaylorMade TP5X. Because I hit it about 8 to 10 yards longer than the Titleist Pro V1. No, that's for me. That's not
wow.
for everybody. But several people that I know with similar speeds, like my clubhead speed, they're getting a little more distance out of the TP5X ball. But, yeah, I have been a Titleist guy most of my career. But at this stage, I'm looking for every yard I can get.
Hey, our time is winding down. Inside the Ropes, Larry Miller joining us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I got to ask you this. I mean, why are golf balls so expensive? I mean, for a box of Titleist, I mean, it's like $50.
Well, they're expensive because they can be. People are going to pay. They're going to pay for them. You have to have the ball. You got to, you know. Now, they have cheaper balls, but they're inferior. And no, it depends on your caliber of play. If you're a 25-30 handicapper, then, you know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. You don't want to spend $50 for a dozen balls, but because it's not going to make any difference.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you're a scratch player or a 5 handicap or even an 8-10 handicap, then you want to get a ball that you're going to get the most out of, and so they are costly, and so that's why you need to visit my website and learn to hit it straight.
Okay, our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Welcome back, hour number one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with Larry Miller. Well, and I'm just going to say, I'm so glad that Steven Jr. is a fairway guy because he's hardly ever losing a ball, right?
That's right. And I want to make a quick comment about your son, Steve. Aww. I want to brag a little bit because
yes.
I happen to be one of his coaches.
Aww.
And
yes.
Last Monday and Tuesday, uh-huh. Steven won the state high school championship individually, won the individual championship. But that's not the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
The story is that he shot 61 in the first round.
Right.
61. And followed it up with a 70 and won by two shots. 61s don't happen very often. It's very rare and very special. I've been playing this game for 63 years, and I played the tour 4 years and played hundreds and maybe 1,000 golf tournaments. I've only shot 63 three times and 64 a number of times. I've never shot 61 or two.
Wow.
Steven is 17 years old and shot 61 in competition. And I just want to take my hat off and tell you that that's a name to watch for in the future.
Well, thank you, Larry. I tell you what, you know, watching Steven warm up in, before that round one, never have I seen him that dialed in. He just had a certain look in his eye. And, you know, I think he had a long memory. He finished runner-up in 2018 and lost by one stroke to Travis Vick, who is committed to the University of Texas, a tremendous competitor. And Steven has the utmost respect for him. So he wanted to take care of business, and he certainly did. He had three eagles, seven birdies, six pars, and Larry, with a 61, he still had two bogeys.
Yeah, I mean, he flirted with the 50s and could have easily shot at the 50s in that round. He was just in the zone, the way, you know, whatever we call the zone, he was in it, and it's just hyper-focused, and it's just amazing. But, you know, he's going to be a special player. He already is, and boy, what a performance. He held off the number four-ranked junior in the world,
yes,
in the country, Travis Vick. He held him off and beat him, and I tell you, that's a great accomplishment, and it's going to boost his confidence a great deal.
Thank you, Larry. Hey, just a few more minutes. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Larry Miller, tell us, what do you think is the secret to going super low in a round? I mean, we think of the players who have shot sub-60 rounds on the PGA Tour. I mean, I remember, David Duval, he was, the third player to ever shoot a 59.
Well, a lot of players get, you know, 4, 5, 6 under, and they take the foot off the gas, and they start coasting and protecting their score, knowing that they've got a great score.
Yep.
But when you see the guys go low or the girls go low like that with a 61 or 2 or 3 or something, what happens is they get 4, 5, 6 under, and they're trying to get 7. Then they're trying to get 8. And they stay aggressive. The secret to going low is to just stay aggressive right throughout the round. When you've got it going like that and you're in the zone and you're clicking on all cylinders, that's the time that you go for the flags, because you're hitting it good, and that's how you go low. And I tell you, these kids, I call them kids, they're young players,
uh-huh.
but these kids are not afraid to go low these days. They get after it, and they're aggressive, and I love it. I mean, 61, just think about it. It's just it just doesn't happen often.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.